Global money supply hits record $150 trillion. The crypto angle, global broad money supply climbed to a record $150 trillion in June, an increase of $10.7 trillion over the prior year, according to figures shared by Cointelegraph on September 2, 2026. The Post described it as the ninth consecutive monthly record, a run that captures how much new money central banks and commercial lenders have added to the system in a single year. The number itself is abstract until you set it against the assets that trade on it. Bitcoin was priced at $77,308 as of September 2, 2026, down 1.6% over 24 hours, with Ether at $2,412, down 2.2%, and the broader market in a mild pullback. The Fear and Greed Index still read 71, or greed, even as prices dipped. So the monetary backdrop expanded to a record, while crypto sat flat to lower on the day, a gap worth sitting with rather than glossing over. The measure, and what it counts broad money supply, often tracked as M2 or M3 depending on the country, counts cash in circulation plus deposits, money market balances, and other near-cash holdings across major economies. When that aggregate rises, it usually reflects some mix of central bank balance sheet growth, government deficit spending, and commercial banks creating deposits through new lending. A $10.7 trillion year-over-year gain is not a rounding error. It is roughly seven times Bitcoin's entire market capitalization of about $1.55 trillion added to the global money base in 12 months. That framing is the entire reason crypto commentators reach for this data point. Bitcoin's supply schedule is fixed at 21 million coins, with issuance cut in half roughly every 4 years. No committee can vote to mint more. Set a hard cap against a monetary base printing fresh records 9 months running, and the contrast writes itself. The case and the caveat, the store of value argument runs like this. If the denominator keeps growing, assets with capped or slow-growing supply should hold purchasing power better over long horizons. Gold has played this role for centuries. Bitcoin's pitch is a digital version of the same logic, with the added feature of being portable across borders and spendable through the growing set of crypto cards that convert holdings to fiat at the point of sale. The caveat is that the relationship is loose and slow, not mechanical. Money supply hit a record in June, yet Bitcoin is down 1.9% over the trailing week and trading well off its highs. Liquidity expansion tends to show up in risk assets over quarters and years, filtered through interest rates, credit conditions, and sentiment, not as a same-day reaction to a monthly print. Anyone treating this data point as a short-term buy signal is reading more into it than the numbers support. This is macro context, not a trade setup, and none of it is financial advice. Holding value and still spending it. For people who actually hold crypto rather than trade the narrative, the monetary backdrop connects to a practical question. How to hold value and still spend it? That is where stablecoin spending and yield-bearing setups matter. Cards that let you earn crypto back on everyday purchases or stake for yield on idle balances are one-way holders try to keep pace with a base that grows $10 trillion a year. Two risks belong in that calculation. Custodial platforms carry counterparty exposure. If a provider faces insolvency, as users of failed platforms have learned, balances can be frozen or lost, which is why self-custody options exist for those who want to keep their own keys. And any card that requires staking a native token to unlock rewards adds price risk on top of the macro picture. A token drop can erase months of cashback. So the break-even math matters before you lock funds.